Welcome back, everyone. It's me. It's Kathy. I'm in. I'm here. That's the name of our show. Kathy is in. And I'm here today with two of my very favorite people on the whole entire planet. One of them is Ms. Gina Glass, author extraordinaire of The Rockstar and Spitfire. We're not going to talk about those today, people, because there's new information about Spitfire that we can't share yet. See how I did that? Little tease. We are also here with actress Taya Gill. Hooray! Say hi, you guys.
Hey.
Hey, Kathy!
You guys might know Taya from Queer as Folk. She was Lindsay, the lovely blonde on Queer as Folk. She was also on Dante's Cove. What was the name of your character on that show?
Diana.
Diana. No. You were a little kooky on that show.
A little.
A little. Do you like playing kooky? Was that fun?
It seems to come naturally.
You're adorable. I'm so bummed because I actually scheduled Taya today on purpose, on November 8th, on purpose, because she's doing a new play here in town. It's not a new play, right? Or it's a second run?
It is its second premiere.
Its second premiere. So it's fairly new. It's new for you. It's new for us. And I wanted to go see it. It looks fantastic. And it looks, you know, it's a character-driven play, right? Which are my favorites. And I really wanted to go see it before I had you on so that we can kind of pick it apart and talk about it. But I had some unexpected stuff happen last week, and I wasn't able to make it. So we're going to talk to Taya anyway, and then I'm going to come see your show, and then I would love it if you'd come back. Would you mind?
Sure.
See how I put her on the spot while you all are listening? She can't say no now. All right, so first let me just say, if you guys are listening online, you can go to kathyisin.com. There's a chat room there if you want to hang out with other listeners and conversate about what's going on the show. Go to kathyisin.com, or also go to the Kathy Is In Facebook page. This show is fairly new, and I'm looking for the best ways to interact with you guys, and I'm looking for the best ways for all of us to find a flow of communication together. And I've been putting the letters up on Facebook after the show, but I think I'm going to put them up before the show so everybody can read them and kind of get their brain juices flowing. And when you want to call in, you'll have some idea of what you want to say. The number's 818-602-4929. We have a few questions from listeners that we're going to get to today. But first, I want to talk to Taya about everything going on in her world and what she's doing. And I'm really curious about Dusk Rings a Bell, which is the play that Taya is doing now. It's running through November 13th here in L.A. in Hollywood, right on Santa Monica and Wilcox at the Blank Theater.
That's it.
Second stage? Yeah.
Theater Row.
And it's theblank.com is the website, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, so you can go there and find out information about the play. But there's only two of you in this play, you and a guy named Josh Randall, mm-hmm. whom I don't know. But I'm wondering what your experience is like with it. I mean, you're kind of midway through the run, a little bit past the halfway mark, huh?
We have four more performances to go.
Yeah. What's this like for you? How's it been going?
It's been remarkable. It's been transformative and very life-changing. And I've learned a ton and worked very hard on this piece. And I hope, and it seems like, people have been affected by the play, which is a great play.
Well, I read a review in the WeHo News that just, they loved it. I mean, mm-hmm. they loved you, they loved Josh, they loved the play. Can you tell us, just real quick, the premise of the play?
Two people who had had a young romance when they were in their adolescence meet up by chance on a beachside resort and reunite and discover certain incidents and events that happened in their lives during their time apart and have to deal with themselves and their love and how they move on and
how they might move forward. From what I got, from what I read, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it, but it seems like these two people who once had a moment together quite a while ago move on in their lives, and they are, by chance, run into one another.
Right.
And the hope of that moment in their lives back then is something that is very appealing to both of them in the present moment of the day. Mm-hmm. Yes? Mm-hmm. And I really related to that. I mean, I just read the log line of the play. And I really related to that. I mean, we can get so taken in a moment that has all the right feelings and has all the right mood to it. And we can get really taken by it in the hope of taking that moment with us and creating an entire life around it. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that these two people stumble upon each other and remember that moment and have hope for a new beginning, but then have to understand that everything that's happened since then needs to come with them too, whether they like it or not.
That's right.
Does that sound about right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. Just want to make sure I'm getting this right. And I want, you know, everybody listening to understand what they're in for if they can come and see it. Again, it's at gototheblank.com. That's the theater where you can find out more about how to go see Taya in this play. What do you like about your character?
I like her intelligence and her bravery and her need to find the truth and her courage to go the distance to find the truth and be honest with herself and what she can live with and how she can survive with how fate and how events in her life have affected her.
Yeah. I love talking to actors about the characters they've taken on, especially actors that I know that do their work. And I know that Taya does her work because that's where, you know, the really interesting meat of life is, if you ask me. It's in the psychology of people. And that's something as actors that we, you know, psychologists can look at it and understand it. Actors go in and put the outfit on and they put on that person's psychology. And that's a really vulnerable thing to do because you are sort of leaving yourself at the door or taking the pieces with you that connect to that character. You're taking them with you. And that's a really vulnerable thing to expose yourself in that way and share that while you're playing the role. When you read this role, what were the things about her that you connected to, that you felt you could identify with, that you could take with you into this character?
Probably, she suffers from a speech. When she was a child, she suffered from a speech impediment. She stuttered. Mm-hmm. And so it was very interesting to understand what goes on with a stutterer. And Stephen Bellberg describes that dilemma very, very well. It's very much akin to high emotions that are unable to be expressed. Mm. And so I could relate to that part of her character.
Did you stutter as a kid?
I haven't stuttered per se, but I have suffered from fears of being able to speak clearly mm-hmm. and fluidly.
Mm-hmm.
And also having been stopped to speak, I think, at times in my life, which induced a certain emotional confusion.
Ah, yeah, well said. Well said. So stopped from expressing yourself, and then that was a confusing thing for the expression that didn't get any expression.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's been a lesson I've had to break down and sort of investigate.
Yeah, yeah. I sometimes feel like I can stutter, and I think stuttering's an interesting thing because I think there's probably different reasons people stutter. I think for some people it's a motor skill thing with the musculature informing the words, and I think for some other people it's aphasia, which is not being able to find your vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
That happens for me sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, what am I, 83 years old? Did I have a stroke? What the hell happened to me? Because sometimes I know exactly what I want to say, and I've got a really well-formed concept or idea that I'm dying to communicate, and I can't get the words. And then I realize it's because I'm moving too fast. I'm moving faster on the inside of where I want to go than is possible for me to find my words and then form the words and then put them into coherent words. And I think that's, for me, I think it's part of my ADHD. I think mm-hmm. I'm just always trying to, oh, I'm all stimulated, but I don't want to get there really. I don't want to get there now. And then before I know it, I'm stuttering and tripping over things and stuff like that. So that's really interesting. All right. What things about your character that you had to go into and play scared you, if any? But or were the biggest challenge?
I think akin to the stuttering is also her period of if she couldn't speak right, she had to cry. So there was a close connection to the two. And I think that that has been also a vulnerability that I could tap into with her, that I could relate to. And she makes a decision to stop stuttering and thus stop crying. And through that decision, she's able to carry on and succeed in her life to a high degree. Yet, of course, as things always do, they come round to catch her again. And so she has to come face to face with her decision that she made as a child and confront that. And so,
and the decision being, I will speak my mind and I will stop the pain of not speaking my mind.
That's right.
That's right. Are you identifying with this particular step?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. I can, I have great empathy towards people who have great emotional turmoil and yet cannot release that.
Yeah.
And so it's a very painful process, and I think for people who are in the dark, I think it can lead to being imprisoned and therefore losing one's reason for life.
Yeah.
So
that's a really great way to say it, feeling imprisoned, because you're locked in there with your experience and you're not able to communicate it with someone. I think it it goes right to that existential fear of human beings of being alone.
Yes.
Of just being left alone. And that's why communication is so important. We want to be understood by each other, and we want to know that we're seen by each other, we're understood by each other. It starts when we're little infants, and mommies are holding the babies, and there's no language to be used there. It's all the meta communication of the physicality and the energy. And when the mom and the baby can make eye contact, and that mom can mirror back to the infant what the infant is feeling, like, oh, yes, I see that you're in distress. Yes, 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 I get it. And the baby feels seen and understood. It's soothing. It has an immediate soothing effect. And that stays with us through our entire life.
Yes.
That need to be understood. Or you, like you say, you know, it feels, you feel imprisoned and,
yes,
and isolated. Like Gina must right now.
I do. No, you know what? I just think it's that this, what it does happen to people, and that they are cut off from being able to express themselves and speak. And I never had that. I was always able to express my mind, and still do, probably to my detriment sometimes, but but I still do it, and that's who I am. But it pisses me off to see it happen, that people get taken advantage of because of it. And if it came from the childhood, then it came from the childhood, but it just, that cycle just keeps repeating itself, and it's heart-wrenching, and it's just like, okay, I just want to step in and whip out the cape and go.
So you get your hero button pushed when you see people who are suffering from this.
Yeah, because it didn't happen to me, and I had such a normal upbringing and childhood, and was able to speak my mind, and I think it's...
Well, and you must have a radar as well to be able to see when someone is shutting down and not expressing themselves versus just being private and choosing not to express themselves. You've got to have a radar for that hero button to get pushed.
Yeah, I do. I guess I do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a radar all the time.
What are you picking up right now?
Cloudy with a chance of rain.
That's very cute. So our phone number is 818-602-4929. We got a little bit of a loose format here today, guys, because I was so excited to be with Gina and Taya. They are also friends of mine. I haven't seen them in a long time, and I kind of wanted to give us a little bit of room to play and to take your calls if you have questions for Taya about her play or your newest endeavor. Well, I don't know how... Have you been... All right. Here I am. Here I'm doing that thing. I'm doing that thing where I'm already 10 miles ahead of myself with what I want to say. It's new for me. I'm going to let Taya tell us how new it is for her. But it's new for me to hear what a beautiful voice our little Taya Gill has.
Thank you.
And you've been diving into that realm in the last couple of years.
Yes.
Of singing. Were you a singer before that?
I've always sung. I've
now, in
sung.
The shower and to yourself and know that you're a singer, or you've always sung like you've performed?
Well, I sung as a child in, you know, private girls' school in the choirs.
How cute is that?
I play piano.
Did you wear a little private school outfit?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, I need a picture of it.
12 whole years worth, yeah.
Oh, how cute is that?
Yeah. No, the school has actually come back to help me in more ways than I could have ever imagined.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Are you still connected to people there?
Very much so.
Oh, my gosh, how great is that?
Yeah, my best friend from grade one came to see the play, actually.
Oh.
Just a couple of weeks ago. So
that's wonderful. So this is you in the background here. Are you going to record a CD? Have you recorded a CD? What's going on with that?
No, I've never recorded a CD. I would like to. I have to just...
Gina's nodding over there that you're doing it.
She's going to make it happen.
Yeah.
She wants to make it happen.
Yeah. Gina and Tay are the best of friends, by the way, in case you're wondering what their connection is here.
Yeah.
They're good buds. Yeah. And they're co-workers.
We're Wonky Girls.
Yeah, Wonky Girl Productions.
Creative collaborators. And you have your new production company, Wonky Girl Productions.
Yeah.
And we've got other things to talk about with Wonky Girl, but we'll get to that. Not today, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
So when are you singing next?
I'll be singing a couple of shows in December, which I'm preparing for now. One is for a fundraising event for the Harvey Milk Foundation in December, December 10th. And then there'll be another gig the next night at Vitello's in Studio City on December 11th.
Two nights in a row.
Yes.
It's a tour.
Will that be challenging for you, for your voice?
I don't think so. I think it'll actually be good warm-up. I think the more I can keep singing, the better I can be.
Now, when you sing, how is it a different feeling than when you're performing as an actor?
Yes, very much so. I used to be very, of course, as a nervous person, you know, a little bit. I was very nervous about singing. For some reason, when I'm an actor, the nerves are less. So actually, through being an actor and then going back into singing again, I'm actually loosening my nerves for singing, and now it's actually not much of a nervous problem whatsoever.
Oh, great. Great.
So,
in terms of the expression that we're talking about, you know, Taya and I did the vagina monologues together not too long ago with Sheena, and Jill, my partner, was there, and I was watching you do your monologue, and I was thinking of you as a singer.
Oh.
And I was wondering how the experience is different for you. Like, when you get up out there on that stage, and there's a room full of people, and they're waiting, and they're trained on you, and they're watching, and you're about to either perform a monologue or perform a song. You, Taya, have always been, since the first day I met you, one of the most authentic and honest people I know.
Thank you, Kathy.
Which is... in my opinion, the highest compliment I can give someone.
No, it's a great compliment.
I mean, that's very valuable to me. You have a fearless authenticity to you. And I think that is why you experience some nerves sometimes, Taya, because I don't know if it's that you refuse to shut down and put on a, what's the word I'm looking for? Put on a persona that's safer out there in the world. I don't know if it's because you refuse to do that or if because you're just, you are your authentic self, and it is what it is. And when you're doing that, it's a lot more vulnerable out mm-hmm. in the world. And so maybe that has something to do with why you get in touch with those nerves, because you're not callousing over with a fake personality.
I that was a great deal of, you know, how I wanted to live my life ever since I was young. You know, I was very determined to be an authentic and honest person. And it has gotten me into trouble, unfortunately.
Right.
And so, you know, life... you know, tends to lead the way, and I've learned to be much more balanced in my protective nature. So,
right,
certain, you know, masks are now inevitable because of unfortunate, you know, incidents that have happened to me.
But even then, when you say that, I'm going to venture to guess that you're not actually putting on false masks. I'm just going to venture to guess that you've learned. I'm going to venture to guess that you stay authentic, but you've just learned who gets to see it and who doesn't.
I think that's what I'm trying to do now.
Yeah.
Keeping my circle very close and very tight.
Yeah. I've had to learn that myself, too. I mean, you set a deal with yourself. I'm going to be me and out there and authentic
in
the world.
In this business, too, especially. You have to.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to.
I'm kind of an open book out there. And that's, you know, it's gotten me into my own trouble, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. You've got to learn the ways to just not put yourself in certain situations where someone's going to take the exposition of your authenticity and use it against you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's tricky. That just comes for me. I think that's just come with experience or wisdom, or the more run-ins you have with people, the more experiences you have with people, the more you learn where and how to do that. But ever since I met you, I could tell you are just an authentic, sweet, honest person. I mean, and you can be authentic and not be sweet. Taya is one of the sweetest people I know.
Thanks for that, Kathy. You too.
Well, you're kind and talented, and you know, I'm not going to blow smoke up your butt. I'm just telling the truth. Shut up, Gina. Then there's Gina that I call Gina Glass, because she's Gina Glass, but I call her Gina Glass. Mm-hmm. She's got integrity. Oh, you people.
I know.
Can I take you both home with me?
Well, Gina's a lot about helping me survive in a world that can take advantage of, you know, ignorance and authenticity and, not ignorance, but, you know, can take advantage of those things that are unknown.
Yeah. How does she do that for you? What way does that help manifest?
She keeps me authentic. She reminds me of who I really am and what I'm able and capable of doing. Mm-hmm. And that I am independent and that I can be strong and that I'm tough enough. And that, you know, that what I have to say is mine and true. Mm-hmm. And so I owe a lot of my new life to Gina helping me through discovering who I really am.
I put my sunglasses on because the shine from my halo is burning my retinas. My God. You know, meeting at Taya and you and Jill and just the people that I've met here, I have a very good gift of being able to see through. Like we were talking about the layer that you want to see of somebody. And especially with Taya, it is good. It's great. She has power. She's a very powerful woman, and people don't give her credit. They don't give you credit, Kathy, to your power, even though your stature might be powerful. And it kills me. And it also kills me because of the acting and way the actors are treated in independent productions and stuff like that. And it's just like, somebody's got to, you know, I might not get a lot of work because of it or have a lot of people do it, but I know I'll have you guys do my films all the time. Because you guys deserve the respect. And that's what it needs to be about. I think we've lost respect in this country for each other. And
I think you're right.
And, you know,
I think we've lost other thinking, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went through the 80s in this country where it was all about the me generation and I'm going to get mine and, you know, Madonna and Material Girl and all of that. And then we came out of that and we had a country full of selfish, backstabby people. And I think that's what's happened in our economy. I think that's what's happened a lot in when people are trying to create friendships with each other. You know, it's very...
And it's a competition all the time. And it's like, for me, like, being able to hear her sing daily is like, I'm the winner. It's like, you know, because, well, she's got a great voice and she's got these sick round tones to her like Frank Sinatra had. And it's just
strike one, Taya. Go ahead. Sing.
Yeah.
Oh!
There you go. But it's like there's no competition because I don't have her voice and I'm not her talent. But I like to see it grow and rise and shine.
I think that's one of the mistakes we make as human beings is we judge ourselves by the glass half empty instead of the glass half full. So, you know, you can see someone like Taya singing and having that talent, and maybe that's not a part of who you are. And so we immediately start feeling the less than instead of, wow, look at the wonderful positives in that person. And my positives are just going to be something else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And everyone has them. I don't know where this comes from, that we have to dampen the bright in other people to find the bright in ourselves. Because it's just a fallacy.
Isn't that an insecurity?
It's just not true. It really isn't true. I mean, and light expands. The more light you add, the more light there is. It's not as though if Taya's light is burning brightly, then mine has to go out. It doesn't work that way. But we have this weird, like you say, competitive, you know, way of thinking, especially in the entertainment business.
Well, yeah, and I mean, suffice to say, you guys would never be up for the same role, really, if you look at yourselves. So there shouldn't be a competition, you know? It should be like, all right, go for it. Hey, you're right for this part. Therefore, you are this part.
And it comes down to knowing what's really valuable. At the end of the day, at the end of your life, you know, how do you want to have lived it? What do you want to have felt? Wow, we're getting really out there right now, aren't we?
We're deep girls.
Pass me the bong, Gina. That's what we're doing right now. Okay, so let's get to one of our questions, I should say, because I feel like it's kind of, here it is. I'm looking for it in my phone right now. It kind of goes with what we're talking about right now. And on Facebook, Kim K. Hussey says, what about advice for people who can't follow their own advice? It's easier said than done. Okay, that's one question. That's not the one I wanted. I wanted this next one. Joanne Robertson on Facebook says, hi, Kathy. At some point, could you talk about how to be a supportive friend / person without taking on the issues of the other person and getting stressed? I'm curious how therapists, quote, switch it off and separate yourselves from your clients' problems. Do you lose sleep? And I guess that applies to friendships, relationships of all kinds. How do we remain invested in the well-being of others without depleting ourselves and having it become something that we can't let go of or something that drags us down? And Gina, you mentioned this question right before we started the show.
Yeah, no, I mean, take your vitamins. But no, you can take on your friend. That's what a friend does. They listen. That's the most valuable gift you can give a friend is your time to listen.
But is listening taking it on?
It depends how you can absorb it and pass it off and dissolve it and mm-hmm. adjust to it. And so I think it's a lot of consideration. I think that's maybe why some therapists need therapy, or some therapists can go home and separate it from the day. And, mm-hmm. and I mean, like, if Taya has an issue, I have absolutely no problem taking it on to the fullest that mm-hmm. needs to be, that she needs me to, and vice versa from her. And it's just at the end of the day.
Well, when you say take it on, I think you're describing, like, helping her carry the big moving pieces of it, like getting in there and being a help to her. I think the question is more about how do you not take it on yourself? You know, like, let's say Taya's really been hurt and she's angry about something. How do you get in there and help her with that situation without taking on all those feelings and having those feelings begin to eat you up?
I just don't. I do take them on, but that's why I'm angry. No, but at the end of the day, it's gone. I think it's just an individual person and how they good and how they diffuse that at the end and not take it on. I think it's just something somebody has in them.
Yeah.
I mean, because you could tell somebody, oh, you know what? I have 3 bald tires and they're going to be all stressed out for you because they don't want you to crash on the way home. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay. Or there's, oh, hey, great. You got 3 new
right.
tires. Good.
That's a great example of the 3 bald tires. So how do I take that on and be a good friend to you without taking it on? And I think you described it perfectly. I think taking it on and being a friend to you is getting out of my car, calling AAA, you know, lending you money for tires, whatever it is that you need help to rectify the situation. I think taking it on beyond that, meaning being worried until you get home, that's where there's the problem. I think that's not going to do anybody any good. And I think that's what the letter writer is talking about is taking it on internally as if it's your problem and then letting it eat you up and eat away at you. And I think how we avoid doing that is knowing where your boundary is between us and the other person. And this starts to bleed into ideas of codependency or enmeshment with other people, not being individuated from other people. For instance, when we're growing up, we need to do a process of individuation from our mom, you know, so we know what is our stress, what is our mom's stress, what is my responsibility, what is someone else's responsibility. And I think we always want to get in there in the physical world and help fix problems, i.e. help change tires. But taking on someone else's emotional stress, I think then we have allowed that boundary to become a bit too permeable. And I think that touches our issues of control.
Yeah, I mean, some people want to dive in there thinking they're Mighty Mouse and that they can fix it all.
Right.
And that's like a completely different issue or of their own. And saying, you know, okay, the problem can be solved by doing A, but I'm coming in, I'm going to do B, C, D, and E and totally mess it up and make it bigger or worse than it needs to be. That it's just, if you think clearly going in and saying, these are my strengths to help this person with, I think then you don't carry the 3 bald tires in with you.
Yeah. And I think it does, if we do get pulled in that way, it does touch on our issues of control. It does touch on our issues of our own value of as ourselves as a person. To speak to it as a therapist, I care about my clients, but at the end of the day, they are solving their own problems and they are doing their own growth and they are doing their own healing. And I am there to be a guide and to be someone that can help navigate the darkness. And I'm not in the driver's seat
Right.
In that process. So when I go home at the end of the day, if my client hasn't gotten to their destination yet, I'm okay with that. I'm in the passenger seat and I'm going to stay there until we find our way through. But I don't feel like I'm supposed to get in and drive them there, because ultimately that's not going to help. That's not going to help them grow or learn or change. So you keep that boundary, and how you not take it on is by knowing that it is not yours to take on. And that if you do take it on, you're actually doing more harm than good.
Well, isn't it like for a therapist that you would give somebody advice? You don't sit there and say, go out and do this. You would sit there and say, okay, well, this is the option that you have, and let them make that decision so that it isn't.
Yeah. I mean, there's therapy, and then there's counseling, and then there's advice, and there's all different ways of looking at it, right? If my job with you is therapy, I'm not going to give you advice or tell you what to do at all. If therapy is the goal, then the goal is for you to come up with those answers on your own, for you to work through that and break it down and build it back up. If you're asking me for advice, then that's different. But either way, I have to know at the end of the day, it is completely outside of my control to change any of that for you. And so I can be a helping force in your life, but I don't have the control to change it. And I think ultimately by accepting that fact, you have that healthy boundary that keeps you from taking on too much energetically or emotionally from your friends or whatever relationship it is that we're talking about.
It's boundaries.
Taya, you need to be quiet.
It's her turn.
She is talking my ear off.
She is a chatterbox.
The number is 818-602-4929. If anybody would like to comment or have a question for Taya or Gina or myself or about any of the things that we talked about. Let's go to another question. And Taya, please stop. Stop all the chatter. Okay.
Is she like the noisiest guest you've had?
She really is.
I only speak when spoken to.
Yeah, she's Taya the robot.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to Kim's question. What about advice for people who can't follow their own advice? It's easier said than done, at least in my case, she says. Have you ever had that experience? I'm speaking to you now, Taya.
Were you looking at me?
I am now. Oh, okay. I looked at Gina and then I shot it back over to you.
Do I have trouble taking my own advice?
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at that once I've made the decision of what my advice to myself is.
Have you ever been in a situation where, you know exactly what a friend should do to get out of that situation or to help themselves, but in your daily travels, it's hard for you to do it yourself? Like, I'm thinking of let's keep it simple. I'm thinking of, like, say, eating right, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a proponent of working out and eating right. I know how positive the effects are, not only mentally, but emotionally and physically. But when I get busy, that is the first thing that goes for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not taking my own advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the more stressed out I get and the more that I have on my plate, the better it is going to be for me in the long run if I make sure I continue to exercise and eat right. And inevitably, that's when I drop the ball.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I do try to take my own advice, Kathy. I really, really try to do. Whether or not I can actually succeed at it, I do try to take it.
Yeah.
So I remind myself of the things that I want to work on a day-by-day basis, and I work very hard at achieving that. But I might not always be successful. I fail and fail and fail and fail again. Kind of goes to what Molly goes through in that I have a desire to make a decision and stick with it. But as humans, we fall off the wagon. Mm-hmm. And I always try to get back on. And
yeah.
I will keep on getting back on until the end of my life.
Yeah, good for
so
you.
So I do try to always take my own advice. But the circumstances which possibly influence me veering away from that are usually out of my control. And maybe that is a control issue. Maybe I need to take more control in my life, which I try to do. But I also want to stay open. And so you're always balancing that. You're always playing that game with yourself.
Yeah.
At least I am.
Yeah.
But I do stick to my goals.
Right.
Eventually, they come through and they materialize for myself.
Yeah. We have a caller. Let's see what they're bringing to the table here. Hello, you're on the air. It's Kathy is in with Taya and Gina today. Who's calling? Uh-oh, hold on, I can barely hear you. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
Hi, Tori.
Hi, Tori.
What's going on?
Hi, I wanted to talk about the whole thing about trying not to take on your friend's burden.
Yeah.
I have a friend who is in a really bad situation. She's living with two people who are taking advantage of her, and she knows this, but she refuses to get out of the situation right now because she feels guilty that when she gets out of it, they're going to be in a bad situation.
Hmm. And how is this? Are you calling to try to help her with advice for not taking on their problems, or are you starting to take on her problem?
Kind of both, because I'm trying to get her out of the situation, trying to get her to realize that she deserves better and that she doesn't need to be there taking care of them, because essentially the only way they have money coming in is because of her.
Yeah.
And it's been that way for years now. She's been giving them money and taking care of them, and
the
they
situation
don't appreciate
it. And the situation is depleting to her life. She's not... Is this that you're unhappy with her situation and she's fine with it, or is she unhappy?
She's very unhappy.
Okay, that's where this comes in. I think, and you hit the nail on the head. I think the place for her to start is to get curious about that guilt and what it is that makes her think she's responsible for those people. And for her to get curious about what she thinks the consequences would be if she were to take care of herself over taking care of other people. And that's what I would encourage her to think about. But look at this chain reaction. I mean, these two people are leaning on her. She's leaning on you. How far can they, you know, send out their stress into other people? And what are you doing to not take this on for yourself?
I refuse to talk to them because I know once I talk to them, I'm going to go off.
Because I like her already.
Gina, what would you tell her to do?
Go off. No, you know what? Your loyalty to your friend is the most important part, and what you're doing, I mean, I don't know the whole situation, but I would be doing the same thing. And if it's a daily thing of saying, you know what, you're better than this. You're better than this. And one day she's going to wake up because she's basically enabling them right now with her finances.
Yeah. Tori, what's it like for you to recognize that your friend is willing to put herself through this and not take any steps forward? I mean, what keeps you from just washing your hands of it and going, okay, I love you. I'm here for you, but you're going to live how you want to live. What keeps you from being able to let go of it?
Because she's been doing this for a while, and she's a really good person, and that's the only reason she's there, is because she's worried about what's going to happen to them. And I know these people. I actually lived with them for a very short period of time, for a month, and that was more than enough. But these people, they just use people, and I'm trying to make her see that if they're not getting money out of her, they have no problem other people. They've been doing it. I lived with these people 2 years ago, and they were in the same situation, literally.
Mm.
And I saw them go down the line and beg other people for money, go and do something fun while they should have been saving money so they could eat and do other things like I was.
You know, I think what's happening here is when you talk to your friend, I'm going to encourage you to go to take a different direction. I want you to talk to her about creating a plan that takes care of herself, but is set up in a way where she does not have to feel as though she's leaving these people in a lurch. Whether they are her responsibility or not is a separate issue. She feels as though they are. Okay, so, and we're trying to help you help her. So if she feels as though she can't make her exit without making sure they're taken care of, then what stops her from creating an exit plan where they have enough time to get on board and take care of themselves? That's what I would challenge you to challenge her to think about. Just go with it. I mean, that's the obstacle she sets up is, well, what will happen to them if I leave? Okay, let's make sure they're taken care of then. Let's set up a situation where they have 6 months to figure out what to do, where she sits down and talks to them about her feelings and that she doesn't want to leave them in a lurch, but that she's got to choose herself now, and she's got to make a plan to take care of herself. And my guess is if you sit down and have that conversation with her, the next level of what's going on for her is going to come up. There's something else keeping her from moving on out of this situation. If it's been going on for years the way you say, there's something about being wrapped up in this situation that is keeping her from being fearful of whatever it is that she, you know, imagines she might encounter if she's released from this situation. You know, sometimes we get wrapped up in taking care of other people because it keeps us from having to pay attention to ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, she moved from Arkansas out here, and now she's stuck with those people.
No, she's not. She's not stuck. She's got to make an exit plan.
Yeah, so.
All right, Tori, thanks for calling in.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That's such an old story where we have something in our life that we complain about and complain about and complain about, and then, okay, so what are you going to do to change it?
It almost becomes habitual.
Yeah,
it's just a habit that you get stuck in after how many years.
And when that happens, I like to look at it and go, okay, so how is the situation serving you? Because there's a reason you're not leaving it.
Well, and I like what you said about the exit plan, because it is baby steps. I mean, unless you can go cold turkey, obviously you can't because you're not strong enough to leave it, and you've been in it for so long.
Yeah.
So make the plan and do baby steps.
Yeah.
And then go off.
Yeah. So the number is 818-602-4929. If you have something you'd like to write into the show for, a letter you'd like to hear considered on Kathy Is In, please send it to kathyisin@gmail.com and write radio letter in the subject line. If you don't write that, it'll get confusing real fast. Just write radio letter in the subject line. You can also leave comments on the Kathy Is In Facebook page. I check those out, too, for things for us to talk about here on the show. And if you'd like some personal guidance or something or some advice or something private that you don't want to be a part of the show, you can also go to kathyisin.com. Click the tab that says practice. There's options there for how we can get together if you would like some advice or some counseling or some therapy, or if you'd just like to figure out what it is that you'd like. I've set up tiers on my website because what I've noticed, that's T-I-E-R-S, not tears like crying. Because I realize a lot of people, sometimes they just have one issue they want something they want some advice on, or they're not quite sure what their deal is. Do they want therapy? Do they want advice? Sometimes you just need to open the can of worms and get a conversation going. We can do that through instant message. We can do that through a voice call. We can do that through video chat. We can do that through a pen pal session, which is email. I've set up a bunch of different ways on my website that we can get a ball rolling for you if you have something you'd like to start dealing with. So go to kathyisin.com and check that out. And Taya, are you still with us? Gina, that was just so rude.
Snoring.
I know.
Wake up, Tim.
I'm not sleeping.
818-602-4929. So did I tell you guys why I was moving last week and why I couldn't come to Taya's play?
No.
Okay. I think we touched on that at the top of the show. Here's what happened. And I haven't told anybody this yet, but it happened so freaking fast. So Jill and I lived at this apartment in Hollywood where we have this older man who's our landlord. And he likes to come to the apartment and, like, knock on the door and give you about 6 seconds to answer the door. If you don't open the door, he just walks in. So this has been a problem. There's a lot of women who live in this building. Nobody really likes that, you know? It's like he'll come to the door and be like, hello, hello, and then he'll just walk in. He gives you literally 6 to 10 seconds, and then he just comes in because he's like, oh, I thought you weren't home. So we've talked to him about this a number of times, and so have our neighbors. Finally, last week, he does it again. But this time, I'm still in bed because I was working into the middle of the night, and it was like 8:30 in the morning, and I'm still in bed. And in our bedroom, we don't have any clothing in our bedroom. Our bedroom is just the bed. It's a really small room. And our dressers with their clothing are in another room. So I'm in bed in my underwear. Jill's gone. She's at work already. And I hear our landlord out in the hallway with some other guy doing stuff in my apartment. So
that's disturbing.
That's disturbing. Yeah. So I'm like, Jesus, how do I get out of here? So I pick up my cell phone and I email his wife because this is the only way we can communicate. He doesn't have a cell phone. He won't carry one. And I very sternly worded, please have him stop doing this. I am locked in my bedroom now. I don't, you know, anyway, it was very firmly worded. It was, and I thought of this, Gina, because I thought of you saying, you know, let him have it. And he came back later that day with an eviction notice for me and Jill. And said, oh, you guys are difficult. I just want you to leave. We're difficult because we don't want him walking in when we're naked. I mean, we're a couple. We could be having sex on the living room floor or something.
Yeah, no, that's
not that we probably were, weren't
not
you?
Not that we normally do that, but I mean, we could be. You can't just walk into someone's house. Do you know that it's not legal? No, it is legal. It's legal for him to evict us for something like that if you're not in a rent-controlled apartment.
Really?
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
I could not believe it. I could not believe it.
I would have electrified the doors when he walked in. He would have gotten...
I just, you know, and of course I sent an apology. I'm like, I think that's a little bit overreaction. You know, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask you to not walk into my house.
You had to send the apology?
Yeah. Oh. Well, Jill was going to kill me if I didn't try to have us keep the apartment. But it turned out to be a blessing in disguise because the very next day we got like our dream house rental out in North Hollywood. So you guys will have to come out and
Everything happens for a reason.
I was like, this, I can only think that we're something amazing for us is right around the corner because I can't think of anything more ridiculous to get us evicted.
Well, if it's money, you promise to share. So just remember.
Oh, I think it will. I hope it's money. That'd be nice.
Wouldn't it be?
But it was, I think, you know, it was this house. We got this house. We have terrible credit. We got this great woman who sat down and talked to us and rented us the place anyway, and it's just like, it's our dream house. It's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
As long as Comet's happy, that's all that matters.
Comet's happy.
Yeah, Comet.
Oh, my goodness. So Taya, what's happening for you in your... Wait a minute, what am I looking at? Okay, sorry. I'm trying to figure out what's going on my computer screen
here.
Read
and talk at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. But, this the cabaret show that you're doing in December.
Mm.
How long of a show is that? I mean, is it just you? Is it you alone? Is it you with other people? Is it 2 hours? Is it 1 hour? Is it 4 hours? Like, I'm trying to get an idea of what we can expect.
It is about an hour long, and it's me and a great trio, a band led by Gail Dietrich, Natalie Coles, musical director and piano player, lead piano player. And I might have a guest performer, or I may not. That's still pending. And it's a combination of some standards and current modern pop songs that David Galligan, musical director extraordinaire, is also going to be helping me with as well. So I'm excited. I hope to be able to tour it, you know, mm-hmm. and have something that I can share with musically with people.
Okay, so that's your goal, is to tour the cabaret show.
I'd like to, yeah. I'd like to be able to sing professionally and on a regular basis. I have sung all my life, like I said.
Right.
But I've never done it really professionally on a long-term basis.
Mm-hmm.
I sang on a cruise ship for, you know, a few months when, you know, I was younger, but
did you?
Never really kept that going.
I remember a couple of years ago, God, was it a couple of years now? When we came up to the house where you're staying, you were getting ready for a show, and you were singing, and you were in the pool, and you were singing, God, what was that song of the night that you were just singing? It was Alicia Keys, New York.
Oh, Empire State. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
She's in my favorite song, one of our fave songs. Yeah.
Yeah. You were so cute. You were just in the pool singing along. It was awesome.
Yeah. No, that was a fun night. That was a great day. But yeah, no, I enjoy singing. I think it's a great release and complements my acting. And it reminds me of prior times. So I'm really grateful to myself for giving myself the advice.
There you go.
Do more of it. See, I fall off, but I always get back on.
Yeah, that is a really great place for us to transition. I'm going to put on the lovely Taya Gill in the background again for right now. While... Ooh. Can you guys hear static, or is that just my earphone?
No, I did. I can't of mine.
You do? Do you hear it, Taya?
I do.
Well, that's not fun. Oh, well. I can hear Taya in the background, and that's all that matters. Thank you guys for being with us today. I just want to thank Taya and Gina for being here. I also want to thank my sponsors, Blagspot.com, DiscoverSuite.com, WeHaveToStopNow.tv, and LuckyDogLeather.com. If you'd like your letter to be considered for the show, please send it to KathyIsIn@gmail.com. Write radio letter in the subject line, or you can leave a comment on the Facebook page. And please, please indicate in your email if I can use your name or not. If you'd like to give me a fake name, that would be really helpful. I want to let you know who's coming up next week. We have psychic Dougal Frazier is going to be here in the studio. We're going to take your calls, and Dougal is amazing. We're just going to take first call, first serve. He's going to give psychic readings here. And then on November 22nd, we have Kelly's Lot, an amazing band. And on December 6th, we have Danielle McKinnon, who is an animal intuitive. She gave Comet a reading. Comet told me she needed her own room. And now she has one. If you're listening on LA Talk Radio, you guys, this is where we say goodbye. If you're listening on TransformationTalkRadio.com or WBLQ 1230 AM in Rhode Island, please stay tuned. We have the Kathy is in 5 minute feature. I am going to give you Jen Corday again because I think we could use a little dance music. We have Spiderwebs with Jen Corday. Please come back next week when I have psychic Dougal Frazier. Thank you and good day.
The Kathy is in 5 minute feature.
Musician Jennifer Corday.
Spider-Man, 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 spider-Man